I'll ask you, if you will, to turn with me tonight to one of the minor prophets, Micah. Micah chapter 2. The only reason these prophets are called minor prophets is because their prophecies are not as large as those of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Daniel. Micah chapter 2. This past week, I was looking for a document. I was looking in a filing cabinet here at the church, and I didn't find what I was looking for, but I did find a notebook, a loose leaf notebook paper, small piece of paper with this sermon outline. Now, I haven't used this type of paper in over 30 years, so I know it was an old outline. What I'm not sure about is whether it was one that I preached or if I heard someone else preach this message. The text was Colossians 3 and verse 11, Christ is all. Christ is all. There's five points. First, all the scriptures testify of him. Luke chapter 24 and verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Christ is all. All the scriptures testify of him. Second, he is all in the salvation of God's elect. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ is all. Christ is all in the salvation of his people. Third, he is all in the hearts of God's people. He is all in the hearts of God's people. The psalmist in Psalm 73 and verse 25 asks this question, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth I desire beside thee. Christ is all in the hearts of God's people. And fourth, Christ is all to be loved. Christ is all to be loved above all things and all beings. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Christ is all. And fifth, Christ is all in heaven. Revelation 5, verse 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. One wonderful truth among many about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is it doesn't change. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, the apostle said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ is the gospel, and the gospel never changes. That was an old outline, I know from the piece of paper that it was written upon. And whether it was mine or someone else's, it was a good outline. Christ is all. That's the message that I've tried to preach over all these many years. And by God's grace, I want to continue to preach that same message, Christ is all. And praying about the message for tonight, I kept thinking of this Old Testament type that we find here in Micah chapter 2 and verse 13, the breaker, Christ the breaker. Notice in verse 13, the breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate, and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. I've preached from this verse once before. I do remember that because I remember bringing a message after we had gone to the IMAX theater for the first time down at the museum, down on Fannin or Main Street, the museum there. A big screen. I've never seen anything like that, a movie, a film on a screen like that. I mean, it's high. It's tall, right? You've seen it. You've been there. And when the film began, it began with a bang. It began with the light, the film on the screen, and the surround sound, and it was a sound of crushing, breaking. And as we realized what it was a ship. A ship that was designed, the United States Navy, I believe it is, had this ship, several of them probably, but a ship designed to break through the ice on the way to the North Pole. The breaker. My, it was so impressive to me, the film and the sound, and I thought, well, I know the Scripture speaks about Christ as the breaker. And then recently, in reading John Gill's chapter in his Body of Divinity on the ascension of Christ, when the Lord Jesus, after his crucifixion and resurrection, and after he appeared to his disciples for 40 days, showing himself alive, as the Scripture says, by many infallible proofs, he ascended into heaven. And John Gill used this verse and this type, speaking about the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for a few minutes tonight, I want to bring to us some ways that Christ may be pictured in type as the breaker, the breaker. First, in the fullness of the time, Christ broke forth from the virgin's womb. In the fullness of the time, God set forth his son, made of a woman. In the fullness of the time, Christ broke forth from the virgin's womb. He broke forth in a very miraculous way. Never happened before, never happened since. When you open your Bibles and begin in Matthew chapter 1, reading the first chapter there that speak of the birth of our Savior, we have that genealogy, the genealogy of Christ. And it's up through Joseph's lineage. And we know it goes all the way to Abraham there in Matthew chapter 1. And as you go through the genealogy, before you come to Abraham, and he's the top on the list, you come through Phares, Judah, Jacob, Isaac, Abraham. Phares, Judah, Jacob, Isaac, Abraham. The name Phares, Phares, the name Phares comes from the root word here, which is translated breaker. Breaker. In the fullness of the time, the Lord Jesus Christ broke forth into this world from the womb of the virgin. Now, I want you to look back with me for just a moment to Genesis chapter 38. And we read here of the birth of this man, Phares. Genesis chapter 38. Verse 29. Genesis chapter 38 and verse 29. Now, Rebekah is pregnant, not Rebekah, Tamar. Tamar is pregnant with twins. She's pregnant by Judah. And the scripture here says, in verse 29, and it came to pass as he drew back his hand, that is, the first boy. She has twins. Let's look in verse 27. Came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand. And the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. And it came to pass as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out, and she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Phares. The midwife was taken aback. She had never witnessed anything like this before. One child began to be born, but then the other child, and she marked that first child with that scarlet thread, but then, surprisingly, the second child was born first. He broke forth. That's what she said, wasn't it? How hast thou broken forth? How it was that he came forth from the womb first. The midwife, she was astonished. She never witnessed anything like this before. How could this happen? Remember what Mary asked the angel when the angel told her that she was going to have a son. She asked the same question, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Mary, of course, was a virgin. She had never known a man. She asked, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel told her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Now listen, therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That body and soul which was prepared wasn't a person until he was united, that body and soul was united to the eternal Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is not two persons. He has two natures. And that's the reason for that word thing here. That holy thing which shall be born of thee. It was a person when it was united to God, the eternal Son. God coming into this world as a man. The breaker, the Lord Jesus Christ, broke forth into this world of sin. And he broke forth into this world of sin, remember this, on a mission. Remember that show, Mission Impossible. They used to get their instructions, you know, and then the instructions would somehow burn up or something. I can't remember all of that. Mission Impossible. Well, I tell you what, for only a man, if the Lord Jesus Christ had been only a man, then he would have been on an impossible mission. But because he is more than man, he's God-man, he came into this world on a mission. And nothing could deter him from accomplishing the work which the Father had given him to do. What a prayer. When the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to his Father, said, Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What was it? I have glorified thee on the earth. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he finished the work. And he, in that work, he glorified the Father. He broke forth in the fullness of the time from the womb of the virgin. Second, At his appointed hour, Christ broke through all the enemies of his people. You know, the cross was not an afterthought. It wasn't plan B. I've read some men who, in fact, this past week, I read some men, or after some men who were teaching on eschatology, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and actually said that if the nation of Israel had accepted Christ as their king, then he would not have needed to go to the cross. You just wonder how anyone can read the Bible and teach something like that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And the purpose of God, there was a Savior provided before there was an actual sinner. Before Adam sinned in the garden, there was already a Savior. But we know that in the fullness of the time, he came forth, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem us from the curse of the law. And as you read through the Gospels, you find on several occasions the Jewish leaders, along with the people, would have destroyed Christ. But his hour was not yet come. That's the way it's recorded in John. His hour was not yet come. When the Lord Jesus Christ returned to Nazareth after his baptism, you remember he went to the synagogue there in Nazareth, and they gave him the scroll of the book, and he began to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And then he illustrated the truth of God's sovereign grace by those two examples, the example of the widow and the example of the leper. And what was the response, what was the reaction of those who at first had marveled? This is what the scripture says, right? They had marveled. We've never heard anyone. The gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. But when he showed by example God's sovereign grace, that God passed over all the widows of Israel and sent his prophet to a Gentile widow. God passed over all the lepers in Israel and sent his prophet to a Gentile leper. The people, what was their response? Their hill, the scripture says their city was built on a hill or a cliff. And they wanted to push him off. They wanted to destroy him. But he passed through the midst of them. But when his hour did come, remember, the scripture says he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. When his hour did come, he broke through all the enemies of his people. And when he cried there on the cross, "It is finished," he broke through. He had routed, he had defeated, he had destroyed all the enemies of his chosen people. So much so that the Apostle Paul was able to write, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God." Who is he that condemneth? It is God that justifieth. The Apostle Paul tells us that at that time, at that point, he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He broke down that middle wall of partition. You read about this in Ephesians chapter 2, don't you? Those Gentile nations, like you and I, Gentiles, far off from God. And that wall of separation was the law, the ceremonial law, the law that God had given to Israel at Mount Sinai, kept them separate until the promised seed came. And the Lord Jesus Christ broke down that wall of separation. He's the breaker. He broke down that wall of separation, and now Jew and Gentile. There's not two churches. There's not two bodies of Christ, a body that's made up of Gentile believers and a body that's made up of Jewish believers. No, we're all one in Christ. He's the head of his body. He broke down the middle wall of division between Jew and Gentile, and he did that, as Paul said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He fulfilled the law as the servant of Jehovah. Isaiah chapter 42, the prophecy was, he shall make the law honorable. How did he make God's law honorable? First of all, just because he was made under the law. He became subject to the law. And just who he is, the God-man mediator, he made the law honorable, but he made the law honorable also in his obedience to the law. Do you ever think about the fact that that obedience, that righteousness, that's what he was doing. He was establishing righteousness. He was bringing in an everlasting righteousness by his perfect obedience. That righteousness is your righteousness. If you are a believer in Christ, if you know him tonight as your Lord and Savior, that perfect, absolute obedience, that's your obedience. So much so that the Apostle John said, as he is, how is he? The Holy Son of God at the right hand of the Father, as he is, so are we. He doesn't say, so shall we. So shall we be as he is right now, tonight, accepting the Holy Son of God. As he is, so are we in this world. At his appointed hour, Christ broke through all the enemies of his people. And third, at his resurrection, he broke through the gate, the bars of death. As this text here in Micah tells us, the breaker, Christ, is come up from before them. They have passed through the gate and gone out of it. Think of Peter that night. He was asleep in the jail, in prison. Herod had already put to death James. He was going to slaughter Peter. Peter's over there in prison wringing his hands, isn't he? Oh, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? No, he was asleep. He was asleep. And the angel came and had those two guards he was chained to, the chains fell off. The angel opened the gate. Peter and the angel went out, and they came to another gate, and the gate opened up. Peter went out, and he thought he was dreaming. The Lord delivered him from the prison cell. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was in the prison of the grave for 3 days. But he broke out. I thought, maybe I should speak about this as a prison break. the greatest prison break of all time. When they laid his body down in that tomb, rolled that stone upon it, sealed it. We're through with him. We'll never see him again. We'll never have to worry about him again. Well, on that first Sunday morning, when they went out to the grave site, the stone was rolled away, and the Lord Jesus Christ was gone. He had broken out. He had walked out of that grave. And you know, in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 27 and verses 50 through 53, we read these words. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, Matthew says, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice. You've probably maybe been alongside someone who was leaving this world, and usually their voice is very, very soft, very difficult to hear. Sometimes you try to lean down and hear their last words. The Lord Jesus Christ, he cried out with a strong voice, yielded up the ghost. He dismissed his spirit. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself, he said. But Matthew tells us this happened. When the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost, the graves were opened. He tells us the graves there around Jerusalem were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves. But then he qualifies that by saying, after his resurrection. The graves were opened when the Lord Jesus Christ cried out, it is finished. But those bodies of the believers, the saints that were buried there, they didn't come out until after his resurrection. Because you see, he's the first fruit of them that slept. And he shall have the preeminence in all things. But after his resurrection, after he broke through the bonds of death, they appeared, they went into the city and appeared unto many. Christ the breaker broke out of the prison of the grave on the third day. And that prophecy of him in the book of Hosea, he fulfilled. Oh, death. Death is an ugly thing, isn't it? It really is. It's the death of an animal. It's an ugly thing as far as I'm concerned. Oh, death. I. Who's I? The breaker. I will be thy plagues. I'm going to take care of you. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Who's going to destroy the grave? The breaker. The breaker. And then fourth, at his ascension, the disciples were there with him, and the scripture says, as they gazed up into heaven, he was taken up from them. And, you know, the scriptures speak of the prince of the powers of the air. And we can just imagine tonight as the Lord Jesus Christ broke through those powers, those demon forces, through the legions of devils on his way to the right hand of the Father. And as our text here declares, the Lord, notice that the Lord on the head of them, or at the head of them, it goes a mighty host ascending up, breaking through those demon powers and forces, breaking through, and Christ at the very head. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. He has taken possession of heaven. He's the forerunner. The scripture refers to him in Hebrews chapter 6 as the forerunner. He's taken possession of heaven for himself and for you and for me and for all of his people. And just as sure as he's there tonight, one day, by the grace of God, all of his people, we too shall be there with him. And fifth and last, At his return, he will break through the heavens to receive his own. We look forward to that day. We sang about it just a few minutes ago. Christ returneth. Hallelujah. Christ is going to come again. This same Jesus, this is what the angels told his disciples that day when he was taken up from them. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. That's the blessed hope that every child of God that we have tonight, that he is going to come again. Let's read about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll be through. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That is, concerning believers who have already passed away. Paul said, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, their soul is not asleep. You know that. Their bodies sleep in the grave, turn back to the dust. But their soul, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have a hope tonight. Christ is our hope. He's the breaker. He's the one who conquered sin, Satan, and death. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede or prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And what is our response? Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. 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 We're going to sing hymn number 269, Under His Wings. Number 269, Under His Wings. Let's stand as we sing.